We had such a powerful message last week on hope. And we have hope, especially as we face different circumstances and trials that this world is giving. We have just heard of a very sad news this week in California. And sometimes it seems like the devil is taking advantage of circumstances like that and he would be saying, I'm winning. We'll be talking about peace this morning. And of course, this is the season that we have entered where we're looking at the Christmas time. And in our communities, and I believe in your communities, people are putting out their decors outside their houses. And we have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and we have Frosty the Snowman and in our community. And we usually put up our nativity sets every season like this. And it's something that's very interesting happened. We became so busy, my family and I, that we were not able to put the nativity sets earlier. So our neighbors just basically had their own decors. And one of our neighbor's daughter, she's about 6 years old. And she talked to Bethany and asked Bethany, when is Jesus coming out? And that kind of put a stir in my heart that, hey, we are making a message. We are giving out a message, you know, even to little kids by the things that we do in proclaiming the good news about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I was so tired last Friday. And because I usually get home around 6:30 in the evening, and I forced myself to put Jesus out. And with the lightings and all that, it's gorgeous. And so, sufficing to say, that little girl, our neighbor, is also happy to see the nativity being out. I would like to invite each and every one of us also to say this very, very powerful word to the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself up for me. It is no longer you who lives. It is no longer I. So we need to reorient ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ and being in this family of God to be aware that he is indwelling inside of us. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace dwells within each and every one of us who had made a relationship and a confession in relation to him. So greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And this morning, we'll be focusing on three parts coming from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. And it reads here, if you have your Bible, you could turn it to Romans 5, 1 to 2. We'll concentrate in verse 1 first. It says here, therefore, since we have been made right or justified in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So such a powerful, powerful truth that is available and could be enjoyed by each and every one of God's people. The first part would be Christ, the peace for our past. I've been in chaplaincy for many, many years, and I bumped into this case in the ICU just lately, actually this week, that a lady approached me and told me that my sister is very critical in ICU bed number one. We grew up together in church. We loved the Lord. We were in the choir. We got baptized together. But for some reason, as we grew up, she has abandoned the faith. She had involved herself with activities that are questionable, that are not Christian. The choices that she made are not Christian choices. She got married with an unbeliever. They got divorced. They had kids. And after being divorced, she married another non-Christian, and she went down the spiral of not even going to church and despised being a Christian. So this lady was in tears and asked me, "Chaplain, do you think my sister will go to heaven? She's very critical. She might die any time now." So this lady was basically asking for peace in her heart. Would I see my sister again in heaven? Because I want to spend my eternity with her. The past could hunt each and every one of us if we are not careful, and the devil will take advantage of that. Romans 5 starts off with the word therefore. And therefore is a conclusive word, isn't it? So we have to go back to Romans chapter 4 to put things in context. In Romans 4:21, it says there, Abraham, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised, that is why his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. This is the same foundation that each and every one of us are building our faith on. In verse number 23, it says there, but the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. "It will be reckoned to us who believe in him that raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification." So it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. Fast forward thousands of years to where we are right now. It is the same foundation that we build in our relationship with God. Amen? It has not shifted to anything. And once we are in this foundation, the glory of God's hope, joy, peace, and everything that he could give us is ours to enjoy. All the benefits. In Hebrews 8:12, it says there that I will remember their sins no more. No more. And their filthy acts, I would remember no more. This is such a joyous benefit for each and every one of us, particularly when we are dealing with our past. In the book of Dr. Miles Monroe, Maximizing Your Potential, he said something very interesting over here that is merited for our attention this morning. All of us have things in our past of which we are ashamed. While self-forgiveness takes away the sting of those confessed sins, it does not remove from our minds the memory of those wrongs. We must learn to live with our memories and allow them to be a positive force in our lives. King David, after his sin with Bathsheba, most certainly was haunted by his wrong. Overwhelmed by the enormity of his sin, he could have forfeited his potential to serve God as king of his people. Instead, David confessed his sin and petitioned God, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Psalms 51. So there is so much in the past that could hunt us of our peace in relationship to God. Today, David is remembered as a man of God's, after God's heart, and the greatest king in the history of God's people. Wow. After committing murder, after committing adultery, and all the things that could imply in removing his peace, God answered him and ushered in his peace. Amen? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Such a powerful truth for each and every one of us in the kingdom of God. Amen. Ephesians 2:14-16 says, "For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body to the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end." We are not at war with God anymore through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. The hostility has been removed and we have peace with him forevermore. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Now the event in California, looking at that sad circumstance of some people over there, the people that perpetrated this are trying to make peace with their God that way. And the more they participate in this kind of endeavor, they think that they would have peace. You know, if they obey in killing 14, 15, 30 people, how much more do they need to kill before they could feel such peace? It's an endless path, and there is no peace. Jesus said, "I am peace. He is the Prince of Peace." Just like what Pastor D has quoted today in Isaiah 9:6, to us a son, a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The second part would be Christ's peace for today. And we could draw that from the same verse in Romans 5, our key verse, Romans 5, verse 2. Because of our faith, by the way, faith is pisteo in Greek, and pisteo means firmly persuaded or fully convinced. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, and the undeserved privilege there is grace, where we now stand. We are standing in this grace that the Lord has given us. And because of that, we have peace. Right? I have met several Christians. They have this confession about the Lord in one part of their mouth. And when trials and tribulations come, they're so miserable. And sometimes in the world of chaplaincy, we will be thinking, "You're a pastor, you're a minister, you know better," inside of me. That God is in control of whatever is going on right now. The past has been taken care of, and the present right now, the grace where we now stand, would also take care of it. John 8, 36, 37. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. If we are free, then there is peace. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in your heart. And this could be mimicked by Christians, that the word of God doesn't have any bearing in their hearts. Thus, peace is being annulled. And we need to be very, very careful of how we handle the word of God and apply it to ourselves. Philippians 3, 12 to 13 says, not that I have already attained this or have already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead in the grounds of faith where we now stand. Allow the word to minister to you. All things work together for good. Yes, it's a mess right now. I don't understand it. It could kill me, but all things work together for good for those who trust the good Lord. Insist on the word to be planted in your circumstance now. Jeremiah 1:12, you have seen what is right, Jeremiah, for I am watching my word. Whatever word there is, whatever promise there is, he is watching his word and his promise, and it will come to pass. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, actually this is a picture of, you know, of our world, where we are. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Sometimes we come to that point of saying, Lord, I really don't understand what's going on with my circumstance right now, but I know you're going to show up because I'm your child. And you are in covenant with me, I'm in covenant with you, and I am standing in this grace. So in the midst of the storm, in the midst of confusion, you could still and I could still have peace. John 14:27, peace I give you, my peace give I unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Meaning to say, we could be in that place that our hearts could be troubled. We could be in that place that we are fearful. But in that place, we could still experience the peace of God. By the way, he says there, my peace. So meaning to say, there's a peace that the world could give, but there's also a peace that only comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So no matter what's going on, in the now, we could still expect the peace of God to come and overshadow whatever is happening. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Point number 3, Christ's peace for the future. I have, again, had the privilege of meeting a very sick person in the hospital. And he grew up Baptist, but he went his way. And so when he went his way, he's now old, age has now caught up with him, you know, just like the car, sometimes the window won't go down no more. So the engines are acting up and the aircon and what have you. Age will catch up with us one of these days, just like this man. And he said, he asked for the chaplain, and he said, chaplain, I grew up in the Baptist church, but I went my way. Now that age is catching up with me and I'm having all this trouble, I am so fearful of the judgment of God. Instead of having peace in the Lord, he has this anxiety of facing God in His judgment. Romans 5, to what a big contrast with what the next part that we have over here. Romans 5, 2, and letter B here. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Instead of rejoicing, this man has anxiety and fear of facing God. What a big contrast. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, says the Lord. Never. Ume, double negative word. I will never, never leave you, I will never, never forsake you, says the Lord. That's the appropriate translation. Ume. So once you're stuck with God and God is stuck with you, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Say, for example, this paper is eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Say, for example, the Bible, the Word, is His Son over here. He who has the Son or received the Son has eternal life. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have everlasting life. And God is not bigay bawi. God, when He gives, He gives. He doesn't take it back. That's why the boldness of the Apostle Paul here in 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 8, it says, therefore I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And here we are. This is our part over here. And not only to me, but to Ralph, to Lester, to Eric, B, and put your name there. Not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Wow. The peace that passes all understanding will embrace us even unto eternity, the future. And what is waiting for us is so glorious. One thing that's so glorious for me is like imagining me, myself, in this promise in 1 John 3:2. It says there, and we shall be, and Elvin shall be like Him, for Elvin shall see Him as He is. You could put your name there. And what is He like? He is so gorgeous. The angels could not help. But when they come close to Him, they bow down prostrate and honor Him because He is so beautiful. He deserves the glory, the honor, and the praise. There's this song that, you know, is very common to each and every one of us. I can only imagine. And sometimes, you know, you're driving in your car and this song would be playing. It's such a powerful, powerful song, right? It brings you that to that spirit and that time that you and I will be in the presence of God Almighty. And the song goes this way. I could only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes would see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. To be surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. This time is coming, my brothers and sisters. No one knows the time when. Either through the rapture or natural means, you and I will be with Him. And we have peace for what is ahead of us because of what He has done. Your past has been taken care of. Be peaceful. Your present will be taken care of. Be peaceful. Your future has been taken care of. Be peaceful. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even imagine, and He did it. He did it. It's not future. He did it. And so we bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in our lips. To God be the glory. Amen.